Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God, you know what I'm going to say, is moving by the Holy Spirit. I say that every broadcast, every radio broadcast, and I mean it every time, and I always say it fresh because it's the truth. One thing about the Lord, He is moving. He's always moving by His Spirit. He never stopped moving by His Spirit. The enemy don't stop either. He's less than a fraction good. He's not good at all, but he works. Daniel said the wicked, they won't understand and they will do wickedness. They're going to do wickedly and they won't understand. So the enemy has a lot of people in that category, and that's why the generations seem to degrade over time. As the light is shining, he get people to be complacent against the light. We know the knowledge that they see people live, the truth of things. He hardens people's heart against the truth. And then in a wicked state, people don't think the same. They're thinking whatever they think is best, that's what they will do. People, saint or sinner, whatever they do, what they trust. Whatever they trust, that's what they're going to do. That's what they're going to govern their life by. Now, when people get to know Jesus, they begin a healing. Their life begins a healing process as they grow in Him, especially if they stick to the first love they have and learn and take time and learn of Him. Then they'll begin to trust Him. Then they will grow from glory to glory. And they'll stop. And as they learn to trust Jesus, they'll begin to stop trusting the world. And that's a process, and it's a living process, but that's what has to happen. We don't just learn from the Lord. We also reject darkness, because it's there to, if you're trying to learn of God with, and you've allowed some leaven to operate in your life somewhere, you're going to be hindered. It's going to be a problem. It's going to be hard to do. And the things that you've trusted is wrong will hinder the things that you're trying to learn. But when you reject sin and all the thoughts of it and all the persuasions of it, and you don't give it room in your life, then it's easy to receive what God is saying and keep it. Because those things war against the word, and we need to fight. We need to be fighters and occupiers till Jesus come. I thought about who has the advantage. People that are in heaven, or people on earth, people from another generation, or people that's alive right now. And I tell you this much, anybody who did the will of God and they did the things that God told them to do, they would be the ones that have the advantage, whatever generation they were in. But the hosts of heaven, many of them desire to be here now with the knowledge that they have. Which means, that's where I realized as I followed God, that as I started learning of Him and He started teaching me things that was far beyond my years, I said, it's a blessing to be here. I wasn't in a hurry to go to heaven no more, because this is the place to be. Now, they get to see all the things Jesus made, talk to all the patriarchs and all the prophets and men of God and women of God that love God all through the years. They did the grunt work, and we're standing on their shoulders. And I began to realize that now they can see Jesus. They can see the Lord sitting on his throne. I can't unless the Lord give me a vision. But He's right here with me by the Holy Spirit. All I got to do is link with Him, talk to Him, and receive what He's saying to me, and rejoice and praise and worship Him. So I can't say that they have an advantage. In some ways, I seem to have an advantage, and in some ways, those that are already in heaven seem to have an advantage. But, you know, and the rapture is about to happen. The Lord told us that it's a comforting thing to know that you're going to get raptured. I've never been raptured before. I don't know what it'll be like. And I'm happy. I'm glad about it. but I'm not in a hurry for it. And I teach it a lot because that's what the Lord told me. He said, tell my people my return is imminent and to be ready that they be not left. And that bothers me more than anything, the thought of somebody being left behind. That love God, but they keep toying with the world, and then they get themselves ousted. And that's not what I want to happen. And then when I look around and I hear people talk, they gravitate to things or pleasures of this world, or not wrong things, but good things. Their mind is on advancing on in their careers, or buying this house, or getting married, or staying married, or raising their children, but their thoughts are not on the things of God. Not for the level of teaching that God would give us. And the things that they're interested in, if they involve God, then they would be better off. The Lord would get involved with their life, and they will have grown and secured their family. But when you talk about studying the Word and prayer and teaching your children like I used to do, they don't want to talk about that. And most parents, most Christian parents, they worry about their children instead of teaching them the Word of God at home. They'll take them to church or Sunday school, but as good as God is and as fun as it is to be around Him, I'm surprised that more people don't just go in His presence like we used to do. When I went to Refuge Temple, when I was in my 20s, we would go to the church just to pray. We'll clean the church up on Friday night and pray some. And, you know, that was a way of life. When I learned to go in God's presence, I found something that I was always desiring. And I didn't always go to church to do it. I'd go somewhere quiet and pray. I asked the Lord questions at home. I've seen visions at home. And the Lord, He teach me things wherever I'm at, even when I'm working. But when I'm working, I'm concentrating. I got some of my attention on what I'm doing, and I'm listening to the Word, or I'm asking, and sometimes the Lord teach me while I'm working. He can do that. But I love it when He do that. I love it when He come to me with a teaching, and I can hear Him and still concentrate on what I'm doing. And when I used to work at the job I'm retired from, when I used to work there, people would always come and ask me how to fix stuff, and you know, I would take time to study things because in the automotive and truck world, you have to stay current. It's a changing field, and it's always changing and developing, and you have to change. You have to grow with it. The way they made cars 20 years ago is different than than the way they make them now. And then 20 years before that, they're altogether different, you know. So I had to learn computer systems, and, you know, I started as a mechanic. I ended as a technician, because now you got blended. You got mechanical things being controlled by hydraulics, and then hydraulics being controlled by electronics. And it's so much to learn. Well, when I would work, sometime I would pray, the Lord would say, try to work by yourself today, because I'm going to talk to you. And when that happened, I would pray to, you know, so I could ask the Lord to help me to work by myself. And sometime I get paired up with people. But when that would happen and the Lord would talk to me, it would be so much fun. And he gave me a lot of thoughts when he taught me about the cycle of life and about spiritual wealth and spiritual debt. It was like a 3-day teaching on sowing and reaping and how it works and how God governs by it. And He manages the reaping of man's sowing to help us know Him. So, see, when people reap when they do disastrous things and it causes problems, the Lord has set it up so that their life, they'll say, ouch, and they'll start looking for God. Because they got to get whatever it is they sown, they got to reap it. And the Lord will manage it so that they'll find Him whenever possible. Now, back to the advantage. Who has the advantage? The people that will yield before the Lord will always have the advantage. Because if you're on earth and you're learning of God, you can be effective here. And people in heaven desire people to be effective here. They want us to use the resources that they left behind so that we can be. And I like to promote people that have been a blessing to me, books I've read, people that have said things. I acknowledge it. And the Holy Spirit helps me do it. I quote them. And I point to them. So, because I'm standing on their shoulders, and I point back to them, because the way that God used them to help me, He can use the same information to help others. And also, you know, I didn't really think about it, but I'm sowing. Somebody's going to use the information that God's given me, and they're going to, when I'm gone to heaven, or if Jesus tarry long enough, then they'll be using the resources that the Lord gave through me. It all works together. Everything works together in the kingdom of God. And like Mary said, nothing is lost in the kingdom of God. And, you know, Mary Johnson teaches Sunday school. She's over the Fresh Start Breakfast Club at church. Nothing's lost in the kingdom of God. So if you want to know who has the advantage, it's those that will perform what God has given them to do. And you don't have to be raptured to have the advantage. You don't have to be dead and in heaven to have that. You have it. This is your time on earth. This is where you can yield to the Holy Spirit and He'll use you. And the rescue, you know, we don't need to be rescued. Jesus already did that for us. He washed away our sin. He did away with our sins, carried them away. And then when He rose again, He justified us forever. Now, all we have to do now, He brought us back to the zero line. Adam was at the zero line. If Adam would have kept eating off the tree of life, if he ever did eat off of it, hopefully, he would have grown. You know, that's what that represents, receiving the word of God. Now, the ten virgins, five had the oil in their lamp, five didn't. And it's just like Christians. A lot of Christians get saved. Yes, they are saved. They're in the kingdom of God. But they're at the zero line. Now, to rise up in positivity, you have to receive the word of God. And you have to do it. And you also have to reject darkness. You can't go and eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil all over again. You can't go and start, well, I'm saying now, I guess I'll lust after these women, or for women, they'll lust after men, or they'll start doing something that's not good. They'll start drinking or doing something that's going to bring them back down to the negative line. Don't just stay at the zero line. Proceed forward. The word tells you to leave the cross and go forward. A lot of churches preach the cross and that's it. Well, if you're an evangelist, that's what you're supposed to do. But when people are saved once and for all, they need to move along. They need to grow in the Lord. And thank God for the cross. Thank God for the resurrection. But you can't. That happened. Now, do something with it. We're designed by God through the works of Jesus to occupy till Jesus come. If we can become like Him and really be a Christian. Christian means like Christ. Some Christians are not like Christ. They're not disciples. They are converts. Partially. Because if they don't grow up, guess what's going to happen? They're going to get sucked into Satan's vacuum. Things of the world is going to be more interesting than things of God. And some people won't let go of the things that have held them back for years. And that's not God's fault. It's not God's blessing. But what the Lord has been talking about, you know, becoming lukewarm is a process. If your focus changes, you change with it. You have to continue in the things of God. You have to grow in Him. We are saved, we are saved unto salvation. We grow from glory to glory, and we become more and more like Christ. Christ is formed in us. And when Christ is formed in you, now you have the advantage over people that won't do that. And sometimes the people that won't do it, they might be smarter. They might be better off. They may have more resources. But they refuse to go forward. So whatever state you came to God in, God will heal your life. The healing process will proceed as fast as you allow it to. So occupy until Christ come. You got to know who you are in Him. And knowing that these facts are known as you spend time with the Holy Spirit. I don't know another way to do it. And spending time with the Holy Spirit is not just prayer on your own. It's also listening to others, listening to people that God send your way, listening to your pastor who's teaching the real Word of God. And even with that, you have to receive the Word of God to know when they're wrong. And whoever you listen to, you're still supposed to take it to the Lord in prayer. And that's not disrespectful against them. I don't ask people to just take my word for it. You're supposed to take these things to the Lord in prayer. I don't care if you say, Lord, is He telling the truth? Ask Him. God knows. Your relationship with God is more important than your respect for me. God expects you to do what He said. I'm just trying to help. And I believe in what I'm doing. I believe the things that God taught me. And when He tells me something, that I do research. Just because the Lord tells me something, I can tell it. If I can sense that it's true, I say, well, Lord, teach me about it and help me see it in the Word. Now, I'm gonna say this about the Lord, and I judge things because He taught me something. Everything that He does is governed by three things: His love, His holiness, which is purity, and His wisdom. And I asked Him definitions. You know, I said, how do people define love? He said, in heaven, love is defined by what you do. It's not just by what you say. It's not lip service. It's by what you do. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe on Him will receive everlasting life. Now, He did something. He loved us so much that He did something. Okay. And then holiness. I went to a holiness church. Holiness, you know, the way people presented God was they gave you a bunch of rules you had to perform. And you don't do this, you don't do that. I said, Lord, what's your definition of holiness? Because people tore that word up with their rules and regulations. And it got over into legalism. And salvation by works. That's what it became. But actually, Jesus did. He got us to the point where we're holy. And the people, I know that they meant well. They don't want you to go back to sin. I don't either. Don't go reject sin. Yes. But if you focus on what you're not doing, are you focusing on Jesus who got you there? He already did something about your sin. We reject sin and continue to live on. So I said, Lord, what's your definition of holiness? Because if I said holiness, people will go to the representation that they understand. But He said holiness is supreme purity. To flow in the thoughts of love. Love fulfills the law. That's the one law we have, love. That's what John said. That's what Peter said. When you walk in the love of God, you can't sin. I'm going to say that again. When you're walking in the love of God, you cannot sin. And the Lord, this goes deeper than I'm able to tell you right now. But for the last few broadcasts, I talked about how I survived temptation and then began to thrive in life against temptation. And the Lord taught me to love the people that offended me. Love the women that flirted. Love their soul. And you can't lust after a person that you love. And I found that to be true. And I understand sometimes people say, well, I do love them, but what, on what level? You love them like you love your sister, your mother, your father. I can't love people like I love my mother. If you choose to, you can love anybody like Jesus loved you. That's even greater. It's, love is a choice. And if you do it in your strength, you're probably going to fail. But if you do it in the strength of the Lord, you can't fail. When you feel like, well, I don't know if I can do that, well, ask God to help you and give you. I asked him to teach me how to love his people because I knew I was too weak. I was too dumb. But when he taught me about people, he taught me to see other people's side of things. We're all in the same warfare. Satan's trying to kill all of us. He gives us false concepts all the time. Dreams, stupid stuff. Entertainment's corrupt. Even the commercials are corrupt now. They're rated R and X sometimes. So what you're going to have to do is ask the Lord, if you're going to thrive in this life and supersede the things of darkness, you're going to have to do it in God's strength. I don't know another way to do it. But I know it's easier if you do it in his strength. Now, with that being said, it's when you get the revelation of this, don't just hear the teaching, but you're going to have to go and ask the Lord for the revelation like I did. Whatever some people may make so much sense, you say, that's the key, I need it. Well, fine, run with it. But ask the Lord anyway and ask him more about it. See, when you get a revelation, always ask God more about it. Because you're different. You may have what I was after. So if you already have what I was after and you can run with this at this point, God can show you he can show you even better than I'm able to teach. And that's the wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit. So I love the fact that he guides us into all truth. And some people are further along in life. They may have had different situations that caused them to know things that I may not know. That's fine. That's how it's supposed to be. But whenever you involve God, he told me once, he said, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn the ways of the Father. That means that there's a lot that we can be learning. And I don't want to waste it. I want to learn everything. So the advantage is who will run with God. Always find the easy way to do something. Satan is easily defeated. We don't need the rapture to come rescue us. You know, the rapture is going to happen. That's not my focus is Jesus. If my focus is Jesus, when the rapture happens, I'll be ready to go. Wonderful. But right now, what's important to me mostly, more than the rapture, is occupying till he come, praying where I need to pray. Doing the things that God gave me to do. So you have to protect your life. And you have to protect the investment that God has given to you. Now, we made it to Revelation chapter 3. And we're talking about how people become lukewarm. And people are lukewarm for different reasons. And we made it to the church of Sardis. And I'll just start here. This is another week, so I'll start here again. Revelation 3, verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou live and are dead. Now we covered this last week. I'm just reiterating. He said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. The hindrance, the things that we don't reject, the sin we don't reject, or the weights that we don't reject cause us problems. And it can cause us to choose death and not life. According to what Jesus told him, he know that works. You have a name that you live and you're dead. You have to keep that first love alive and you have to act on that. That's the only way to fulfill the law. Not sinning don't fulfill the law. the love of God does. Because you got to look where the sin starts in the heart. If a man looks at a woman and lusts after her, he's committed adultery with her. But what if you reject the concepts of adultery? And you see a woman that that is appealing, picking on women. You can reject the every evil thoughts that go along with what Satan is doing. The Lord told me one time, how do you see what you're looking at? You know, the way if you fill your heart with His word, you can still love a person's soul and not what they look like, and not be moved by how they appear. They may be appealing, they're supposed to be, but there's a tree of life over here. You eat off of it. There's a beautiful, see, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, I believe it looked better. But you got to reject it. Some things look good, but you see them, they look good, they are appealing. And some women love to wear tight clothes, they love attention. But you can reject, you can still reject the evil. And they may be in your sight. You may be around people that half dressed all the time. But you can reject the concept. It's possible. That's what I asked the Lord to teach me. I'm using that for an example. That's an ability that you can grow in. And if you eat off the tree of life, you can reject the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in whatever form it comes. A new car comes out. You got to have it. You can't stop thinking. Yes, you can stop thinking about it. You've lived without it this long, and you can live without it some more. The things that I pray for, if I desire it, and I know I like it, and I think it'll add to my life, I pray for it. If I want it, if I finally made a car I like, I'm satisfied. I don't want another car. If somebody gave me a car right now, I'd sell it. Because I enjoy what I have. I like the truck I got, and I like the motorcycle I got. So I'm not craving stuff. I'm craving the Holy Spirit, and I enjoy what He gave me. That's the balance. That gives you an advantage. But He said, continuing, He said, be watchful and strengthen the things that which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Whatever strengths you have, make them stronger. Become even more dedicated to the things that God has already taught you. And you can excel in what you already know. The strong. Then when the Lord reveals weak spots, just kill it. Find the word of God and ask the Lord to show you how to kill the wrong desires, the wrong things, things that's been a stronghold. If there are any, kill it. It can be dead. You can go forward without it. He said, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. We have to watch to protect our lives and also the lives of those that pertain to us. You have to watch. If something's affecting you the wrong way, take it to the Lord immediately and use His strength, not yours. Use His strength to kill the problem, to solve it. If you're a watchman for your own life, you can watch for the lives of those around you. And when you see government corruption, guess what you can do? You can shut it down. You can shut down. You can separate and shut down the satanic activity. And the Lord, now you're involving God. But what has happened is people don't do that. They don't pray. They don't ask God questions. They listen to the news and come to a conclusion and run with it. And then they vote the same folks back in, the corrupt politicians that want to murder babies, back into office. And think they're going in the rapture. You know, and I know that they don't mean any harm, because I've done it. Until I start praying and taking things to the Lord. Then He started teaching me things. and you start superseding the world. The rapture is going to happen when it's supposed to happen. And it's near, it's imminent. But God looks at times a lot differently than we do. Now, I talk about these things because he tells me to, and you know, I don't want people caught off guard, but nevertheless, people are going to be caught off guard because they're hard-headed. And they don't study the word. The difference between the five virgins, the wise and the foolish, the five had the oil of God in their lamps. They had the word in them. And the Lord's been telling me continually, repetitiously, that people that don't have his word are going to suffer. And that's the difference. The enemy is going to come with his, things are going to start looking real strange, and they're not going to know what to do. Okay, verse 4. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which shall not defile their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Some people break through. And sometimes the people that break through are not well known. Sometimes it's not the leadership, it's not the pastor, it's the people that just love God. So when the Lord send you somebody, don't look at their status. You got to listen to what they've been in the prayer room, where sometimes the pastors may not go in the prayer room anymore. Keep that in mind. Not picking on pastors. There are good pastors like mine that go in the prayer room, and they come out with the wisdom of God. But there's too many that don't do that no more. All right. He that overcome shall be clothed with white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the